You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Let's get back to the Cyber Advisor on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's David Revelle.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dave Revelle, and this is the Cyber Advisor. You can join us at the show at any time at 888-463-6748. Well, you know, this is one of the times, I think, when there is more confusion than I almost ever remember out in the stock market. Investors keep asking, you know, exactly where are we and where should we be? One of the things to look at is I believe that every investor really ought to build a valuation model, getting a simple idea of exactly where the market is and where it's been kind of historically. So let's take a real quick look at probably, in my estimation, one of the absolute best measures of how the stock market's doing. This week, we had major reports of earnings by about six or eight of the major companies out there, including Disney, ExxonMobil, Wynn Resorts, which is one of the big resorts in Las Vegas, Symantec, which is the big internet security company, Teradyne, Office Depot, Honeywell, Schlumberger, and Black & Decker. Look at all of those companies. Look at all of those companies. They all beat earnings estimates. That's what the headline news was. They all beat earnings estimates. However, if you look at all of them combined, they are substantially off last year's earnings, meaning that the underlying value of the stock market is probably not there. In fact, most of those companies are off more than 50%, with the real shockers being Wynn Resorts Las Vegas earned only 9 cents versus $1.11 last year, ExxonMobil 84 cents versus $2.27 last year. Earnings across the board on the major companies in this country are down. How much down? Well, a good way to look at this is if you look at the Standard & Poor's 500 earnings for 2 years ago, they were earning $24 a clip. If you look at earnings today, they're earning less than $10, $9.68, less than $10 versus more than double, $24. So when you look at that, the overall price to earnings ratio has gone from 17 to 30. It's just about doubled as we come back up here to 9,000. But the earnings representing that 9,000 on the Dow are down and down fairly substantially. Well, one of the areas that has that anyone who's trying to evaluate the economy needs to look at is, of course, mortgages. And we've been talking a lot about mortgages and looking at them this time. The chief or the largest holder of retail mortgages is Fannie Mae, the Federal National Mortgage Company. It's a stockholder-owned corporation chartered by Congress in 1968 as a government-sponsored enterprise. That's a key phrase and a key thing for you to understand. Although in that charter, it never said that the government will guarantee investments in Fannie Mae, it was always assumed that it would. Fannie Mae was founded in 1938 during the Great Depression. The corporation's purpose is to purchase and securitize mortgages in order to ensure that funds are consistently available to the institutions that lend money to home buyers, to banks primarily. The head of Fannie Mae for exactly 1 year, July 30 of last year, is James Lockhart, and he announced on September 7th, 2008, that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were being placed into conservatorship of the new FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The action is one of the most sweeping governmental interventions in private financial markets in decades. As of 2008, Fannie Mae and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation owned or guaranteed half of all the U.S. $12 trillion mortgage market. Half of that $12 trillion goes through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Now, James Lockhart is an interesting guy. He's director and CEO of the Oversight Board of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. It's the chief regulator of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and also of 12 federal home loan banks. He assumed the position in July 30 of 2008. He was nominated by George W. Bush. Prior to that, Lockhart served as Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer of the Social Security Administration and as Secretary to the Social Security Board of Trustees. He is a graduate of Yale University and has a Harvard MBA. He was the co-founder and creator of NetRisk, NetRisk Inc., a risk management software company that later merged into Fitch. Now, he was asked just generally if he could give us an understanding of, will taxpayers ever get their money back after they made the major investments into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? And here's his answer.
Well, they may get some of their money back, but it's very unlikely that they get the $85 billion back at this point. I mean, the problem was, as we talked over many times, Peter, that these companies were allowed legally to leverage themselves at 100 to 1. And when we have the kind of housing market we had, they're going to have losses that are, exceed their capital several fold. And it just means that they're going to work their way through this, and they're going to help stabilize the mortgage market. But unfortunately, I guess we have to look at it as an investment by the taxpayer to stabilize the mortgage market.
I have to tell you, that's one of the most shocking statements I've ever heard by a public official. The leverage rate at the top of the real estate bubble for both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was 100 to 1. That is astounding. Under a lot of the regulations that you and I operate under Reg T, we are only allowed to have a 2-to-1 leverage ratio if we want to buy stocks and so forth. The average bank has a leverage ratio 1/4 of what we're talking here. But here, Mr. Lockhart claims a 100-to-1 leverage ratio at the top of the market, and it's almost impossible, I want to tell you, to be able to manage a portfolio with a 100-to-1 leverage ratio. Anyway, the interview continues with the question, do you think that they'll be coming back to Treasury to ask for more capital?
Well, the way the senior preferred works is they're $200 billion each, and in total they've drawn about $85 billion. Each quarter, if they lose money, they come back and ask for more money. They'll be putting out numbers in a week or so, and at that point we'll be able to say.
Kind of a non-answer, but you can bet the probability is pretty high at this point. Next he was asked, are we at the bottom of this this bad recession?
Well, they have $5.4 trillion of mortgages. So as the mortgage market stabilizes and we're seeing house prices maybe bottoming, we're seeing sales go up, there are glimmers out there. If the mortgage market stabilizes, it will certainly reduce their expected losses significantly. When they return to profitability, it's really hard to predict. Their this year business is profitable. The problem is the business they put in 2005 to 2007. And that really will really depend a lot on the success of the mortgage modification program, the home affordable plan for modifications and refinancings. And they are extremely active in that program at this point.
You're satisfied with their performance in that score?
Well, they're very reliant on servicers that services the mortgages. They don't do it directly. They rely on the servicers. And the servicers have been stretched thin. The servicers have to add people. They have to work quicker. But we're making progress. We're starting to ramp up. 200,000 are in trial modifications now. Fannie and Freddie have done over 50,000 refinancings. So we're starting to see a pickup, and we're hopeful over the next several months that we'll start to have another several hundred thousand.
Okay, so there we are. The mortgages that Fannie and Freddie have basically are maintained and controlled by the quote-unquote servicers. We talked about the servicers earlier in the show. They're all of those banks like Citibank, like J.P. Morgan, and all of those who may have to see some of these particular assets come back on their books, which means that in terms of capital, they'll need to raise even more capital. So at a time when James Lockhart is saying, the services are squeezed a little over here simply in the processing load. Also, we're going to add an additional capital load to them. So we're kind of getting them in a double bind. Finally, What does James Lockhart see as the future of these government-sponsored entities called GSEs?
Well, I have my own views, but I haven't shared them very widely.
Feel free.
You know, the key thing is we have to figure out how we want the mortgage market to work in the future. We had a big problem in the last couple of years. We need to restore the market. We need to figure out a safer way for the if we're going to continue to have Fannie and Freddie for them to operate. As I said in my speech, nationalization is an option. It's not an option I would believe in. An improved GSE might work, but we'll have to be carefully structured, or a private sector alternative could also be work. But the key thing is we need to keep the secondary mortgage market in this country flowing.
This is the thing that always bothers me. Why do we talk around the answer? Here's the answer, or here was the problem. We had a 100-to-1 leverage rate. That is a rate that is difficult for anyone to sustain and a difficult rate to manage. You are under the merest, the thinnest, the smallest margin. Make any mistake at 100-to-1 leverage and you're going to be underwater. The second problem was that it was an implicit government guarantee. So here you had an implicit government guarantee on an asset with 100-to-1 leverage. Obviously, investors are going to walk right into that because the returns are wonderful. They look great, but they are not sustainable. The smallest, tiniest downturn and the whole thing goes underwater. Are we ever able to say that? Apparently not. It's not the political thing to say. Well, moving on, let me go to our next area. One of the most fascinating individuals ever, in my opinion, was Charles Dow. Not only did he create the Wall Street Journal, which is probably still one of the world's great economic journals, but also he created a whole theory of investing, a way that people could look at the market to get a kind of a check and balance on whether things are going the way they want them to go or not. Principally, he created an average of 30 industrial stocks. On the one hand, and on the other hand, he created an average of originally 12 rail stocks. His question was, if the industrials are doing well, how do I know? The answer is, if the rail stocks are doing well. Let's listen to the chief executive officer for Union Pacific Railroad, the country's largest railroad, and ask, in his view, does he see the economy picking up like the market indicates?
We are a leading indicator when you think about the barometer of the economy. After a very significant fall off from, that started back in September, I'd say the best news is we have stabilized in terms of the volumes. I think there's some signs that things could pick up over the next 6 months, auto sector, maybe ag sector and intermodal, but I right now the best news I can say is stabilized, and we're hoping for some upside towards second half.
This is Jim Young, who's president of Union Pacific, and he was asked next, what do you think the principal driver for any increase in the economy might be?
Well, again, we are at a low point. I don't think anybody would have predicted. If you look back in time, a recession in the rail industry was maybe an 8 to 9% drop, and we're sitting at second quarter at 24%. We do know, you see it, consumers need to be part of the effort going forward. Maybe stimulus money. We obviously will haul the steel, cement, building products used if infrastructure starts to pick up. I think we were maybe a little bit, everyone was optimistic about the timing of stimulus. I know some projects that we are looking at in some of the states we operate in, the view is they will see that towards the second half. There are signs that things can pick up. I'm not ready to say this thing's over.
Interesting. He's in a world that is three times greater than he's probably ever seen before. Normally, 8 to 9% declines in rail shippings. Right now, he's three times at it, about 24 or more percent. The host asks a most interesting question. With all of this infrastructure ahead of by us and all that we are spending, isn't it almost a fact that your business has got to pick up? And here's Jim Jung's answer.
The question, Brian, though, is whether it's truly incremental or it's going to be substituted for other projects that they're cutting. And You know, we'll see. We should be able to see it in our loadings. You know, our steel right now orders and are up. We also know there are two or three plants that have announced that they're reopening. So there are some signs there that the kind of the pre-order process on the logistics chain is starting to pick up a little bit.
So let's put ourselves in Charles Dow, a seat of 150 years ago. What would Charles Dow be looking at, and what would he say about the market right now? I think that Mr. Dow would say, we're a little bit ahead of ourselves, just exactly like James Young said. It doesn't look to us that the tremendous rally in the industrials is being confirmed at all by what's happening in the real world on the rail stocks. Well, that's it. We're going to look next week. There's lots to look at next week. On Tuesday, the Case-Shiller Index on home buying will come out, also consumer confidence. We'll also be looking at durable goods orders coming out on Wednesday and the new home sales, followed on Thursday by the GDP report and jobless claims. Friday, we'll follow up with personal income and consumer sentiment. All in all, a very, very busy week when you consider it's the middle of the summertime. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks to our producer, Dave Olson, and all the people behind the scenes at TalkZone.com. If you'd like to contact me directly, my email is dave@thecyberadvisor.com. See you next week.